It is time again to take your seat and pull up your Bible and or pull up your seat to the radio. Turn your radio up and grab your Bible. We're going to begin the Warren County Radio Bible School, and we're beginning to look at a Sunday school lesson on the church at Antioch. And we'll be looking at the geographical notes for that lesson in just a moment. I need to remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school, and we're looking at a Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam wrote for the Sunday schools of June 14th, 1925, and it concerns the church at Antioch. You may want to look in the back of your Bible in the maps that are very helpful that are often included in the back of our Bibles and open one to the Mediterranean Sea. And there you will see in the upper right-hand corner of the Mediterranean Sea, the city of Antioch. Antioch was situated on the river Orontes, about 16 miles from its entrance to the Mediterranean Sea. It could have been situated down near the sea, but often those areas right close to the sea were subject to raids by pirates. And so by situating themselves up the river somewhat, they were able to provide protection from those pirates, and they would thrive in that safety. It was about 300 miles north of Jerusalem. It was founded 300 years before Christ by Seleucus Nicator, one of the generals of Alexander the Great, and was named in honor of his father Antiochus. Seleucus is said to have founded 75 cities. Of these, there were 9 Seleucicas, 16 Antiochs, and 6 Laodiceas. He built Antioch in Pisidia that we read about in the book of Acts, and Laodicea in Pergia. At this time, Antioch was the capital of Syria and had a population of 500,000. In the 4th century, it is said to have had as many as 100,000 Christians or more. It was the 3rd city of the Roman Empire, Rome and Alexandria being greater. It was almost an Oriental Rome. It was a great commercial center. Roads from Asia Minor, Persia, India, and Egypt led to it. Caravans poured into it, a continual commercial stream of products from the east to be exchanged for the products from the west brought by numerous ships. It was a very wealthy city, beautifully ornamented and abounding in handsome buildings. But it was also very wicked, as is typical for the Roman cities of those days. The Jews, Greeks, Romans, Syrians, and other nationalities were represented in its population. If we wish to realize the appearance and reality of the complicated heathenism of the first century, of the first Christian century, we must endeavor to imagine the scene of that suburb, the famous Danube, with its fountains and groves of bay trees, its bright buildings, its crowd of licentious Voltaires, its statue of Apollo, where under the climate of Syria and the wealthy patronage of Rome, all that was beautiful in nature and art had created a sanctuary for a perpetual festival of vice. That comes from the historians Cunibert and Hawson. Phoenicia was a narrow country, about 150 miles long, lying north of Palestine along the Mediterranean coast. Cyprus an island to the Mediterranean Sea, about 60 miles from the eastern coast, 140 miles long, and varying in width from 5 to 50 miles. Now let's look at the explanatory notes, and I'll begin by going back and reading the text of Acts chapter 11 and in verse 19. They therefore that were scattered abroad upon the tribulation that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to none save only the Jews. Luke takes up again the work about those who were scattered abroad upon the tribulation that arose after Stephen. It had been between 5 and 8 years since the death of Stephen. They were speaking the word to none save only the Jews. They followed the example of the apostles and the Jewish conception of the gospel before Peter was sent to Cornelius. They began at Jerusalem, the right place, but had not yet begun to preach repentance and remission of sins in his name among all nations. Notice the missionary work which was going on during this period. Philip preached in Samaria to the eunuch and all the cities from Azotus to Caesarea. Paul in Damascus and Arabia, and doubtless his native country of Cilicia. Peter throughout Judea, Samaria, and Galilee, and those of this verse in Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. Doubtless they planted churches in the Phoenicia mentioned in Acts chapter 15 in verse 3. Phoenicia lay between Antioch and Jerusalem. All this was done in a few years by the church and through no other missionary organization than the church. This is the true missionary spirit. And so we read in Acts chapter 11 and verse 20. And there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Greeks also, preaching to them the Lord Jesus. Some of them preaching the Lord Jesus to the Greeks. The Greeks were Gentiles. Cyrene was a city in the northern coast of Africa. Simon of Cyrene was compelled to bear the cross of Jesus, Matthew 27:32. While he may not have been in this company, we think of him just here. They did not preach to the Gentiles until they reached Antioch. It seems, too, that these men came to Antioch at a later period than did those who spoke only to the Jews. It was probably after the conversion of Cornelius. Although it may not have been, these Greek-speaking Jews from Cyprus and Cyrene were not so intensely prejudiced as the Jews of Judea. The church at Antioch was the first Gentile church. It ranks next in importance to the church in Jerusalem in the church's story. And so they turned to the Lord. I want you to notice how it says that in Acts chapter 11 and verse 21. The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number that believed turned to the Lord. A great number that believed turned to the Lord. Not everyone. I suppose it's possible then to believe in Jesus and yet not make that commitment to Him and not turn to Him. Those who only believe and will not make that commitment by turning to the Lord are not saved by their faith only. It says the hand of the Lord. Well, that means His favor, His guidance, His help, His power. He blessed their efforts as some of those scattered abroad had gifts of the Spirit that they might work miracles. The result was a great number that believed turned to the Lord. Believing and turning to the Lord are two different acts. And turning here follows believing. People must repent, too, and turn to God, Acts 13:19. The Gentiles turned from idols to the true God, Acts 15:19 and 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9. and then turn expresses all that one does between the point where he starts at his conversion and his salvation from sin in Jesus Christ. The Gentiles, who turn from idolatry to God, believed the gospel, repented of their sins, and were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Where they believed and turned, turn embraces the repentance and baptism. For those who believe are commanded to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ under the remission of your sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. Where they repented and turn embraces baptism. Turning to the Lord denotes a change in conduct as well as in heart, and the conduct is the obedience required by the Lord. While it is said that these believed in turn, it is said the Corinthians believed and were baptized in Acts chapter 18 and verse 8. And while Peter exhorted some to repent and turn again, Acts 13, 19, he exhorted others in the same condition to repent and be baptized, Acts 2 and verse 38. Now the church at Jerusalem sent Barnabas as far as Antioch. Let me read that to you in Acts 11 and verses 22 through 24. And the report concerning them came forth to the ears of the church which was at Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas as far as Antioch, who, when he was come and had seen the grace of God, was glad. And he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and much people were added to the Lord. I want you to notice what's going on here. They believed, they turned, they were added, and they clave unto the Lord. Convinced by the case of Cornelius that God would accept the Gentiles just as he had accepted the Jews, and rejoicing over the fact, when the church at Jerusalem heard of the good work going on in Antioch among the Gentiles, they sent forth Barnabas as far as Antioch. This implied he would visit other places on his journey. This is an example of a church sending out a preacher or missionary, and the place of his work is designated. We can infer the importance and purpose of his mission by the work which he did. It says, who, when he was come, he had seen the grace of God and was glad. And he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart and life they would serve God, that they should cleave to God with all their power of will. This exhortation needs to be heeded by numerous churches today. The grace of God, which he saw, was the conversion of the Gentiles. He was glad or rejoiced over the mercy God was showing to the Gentiles. These new converts needed the exhortations of Barnabas. He was just the man to send. He was reared in Cyprus, only 70 or 75 miles from Antioch, and was familiar with the language and customs of the people. And he was a famous exhorter. He was called, in Acts 4, 36 and 37, a son of exhortation. And he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. He was not only just and upright, but kind, generous, loving, and anxious to help others. He possessed some gifts of the Spirit, and through his exhortations, much people were added to the Lord. To become a Christian is to be added to the Lord, and to be added to the Lord is to become a Christian. It is our experience today that many have been added to the Lord by hearing spiritual exhortations of the church on right living and the blessings of the gospel, as in other ways. And then we're going to read about how Saul came to Antioch. We're going to reserve that for a future class, but this is where Saul begins to become prominent in his work, and we'll read much about him in the New Testament.